An important part of Christian conversation is speaking of heaven, our final home, our destination. That's what gives us hope in a world that often seems to be going nowhere good. But we become aware that if you just say heaven, that doesn't convey the content of that final hope toward which we are striving. For some people, perhaps heaven simply conjures up sitting on clouds and playing harps. The word heaven might even evoke a dull idea, an idea of life in the eternal retirement home. And so to be a little more penetrating in our speech, we'll sometimes refer not to heaven, but to the beatific vision that makes blessed, that makes one happy. And to speak of our final union with God in terms of vision makes a lot of sense in one respect. Scripture speaks this way, right? It says that we don't know what we are going to be like. This is in 1 John. But we know that we are going to be like him because we will see him as he is. And that idea of see him as he is brings in the fact that of all the five senses, sight is the one that delivers the most information at once. If you want to have the clearest idea of the face of a person or the clearest idea of the terrain in front of you, you can learn more in a moment of seeing than you could in words and words and words attempting to describe it. So vision of God is a great way to speak. That is, to truly to know God as he is to see him, right? Sight also, we tend to oppose sight to doubt, right? Some people will say seeing is believing. That's an odd phrase in many ways, but it does convey that when you see something with your own eyes, you become certain of it. And when we come to heaven, when we arrive at our final union with God, it won't be the sometimes dark, sometimes unfelt union of this life, but it will be a union of which we are vividly aware, a union about which we are certain. We will see God as he is. But as good as sight language can be to describe our final union with God, I also want to urge that we can speak in terms of all the other senses. So, for example, I have been referring to heaven already as our union with God, right? That suggests the sense of touch. See, the difficulty with sight is that when you see a thing, you see it over there, right? Sort of by definition, the thing you see is not something that you are in union with. By the time it's pressing right up against your eyeball, you can't see it. But you press against something in order to feel it, right? You press against your friend to give him a hug. So when we come to that final union with God, if we want to emphasize that there is no longer a distance, this kind of vision is not the vision of the eyeball, then we can say we experience the touch of God. We experience his embrace. The Father embraces his prodigal son, finally come home. Or we can even speak in terms of the sense of taste and smell, which are closely bound up with one another. Do you ever have the experience of seeing something on your kitchen counter? You wonder for a moment what it is, so you pick it up and just taste it? Taste is a kind of touch, but it's a touch that tells you about what the thing is. It's to taste something is in a way to get inside it, to begin to know it. So we'll speak of a soldier as he knows he has the taste of battle. I mean, he knows what that's really like. You know, the Latin word for wisdom is sapientia, which comes from the verb sapere, which means to taste. The opposite of something with sapientia is something that is insipid or tasteless. The wise man is the sapiens, the one who is constantly tasting the reality of things, right? And Scripture tells us that we will not only see, but taste that the Lord is good. Think of that for a minute, to taste the Lord's goodness. That's a way of describing our destination. But we can also speak in terms of hearing. And hearing also has its own advantage, because hearing is that one sense which more than any other creates a sense of place. Have you ever seen a video with the sound off? It looks in that video as though those events are happening over there in that place. It's quite separated from you. You feel very distant from that video. But suddenly turn the sound on, and all of a sudden it's as though you're in the same place as the action that's happening on the screen, right? Or if you've ever had the experience of God forbid, of being momentarily deaf, and you see people trying to talk to you, you see their lips moving but you can't hear their voices, they seem distant, they seem fairly remote. But then if your hearing returns, all of a sudden they feel right there. They feel right there in one place with you. And so when we hear the voice of the Lord, we will know that we have come to that place where He dwells, right? When we have come to the end of our journey, when we come to that place that we name heaven, we will hear His voice. And in that voice, we will know He is with us forevermore. Hearing, to hear the voice of the Lord, that's another way to describe our final destiny. So is sight to be left behind? You know, is sight like watching that video that has no sound on? Should we not speak in terms of sight? Does it make the Lord too distant in our imaginations of heaven? I don't think so, because there is one kind of silent picture you can look at that breaks the barrier of place. There is one, even just still photograph you can look at, which invades your space, comes to where you are and meets you. And that's the photograph of a face with its eyes meeting, locked on yours. And we need to remember that the beatific vision is not the vision of the divine nature, right? Or the Trinity, which all sound very abstract. The beatific vision, Scripture tells us, is face to face. And what that means is you are gazing into the eyes of a God who gazes back at you. When you realize that, then you understand that in that vision, God breaks into your space. He comes to where you are. He meets you. And in that gaze, in that eternal gaze, you will touch Him. You will taste His goodness. You will hear His voice. And you will embrace Him for all eternity.